Good evening and Merry Christmas. Oh, you did good. Please rise. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to see if anybody had moaned out there. Well, you know, this Christmas we've been working through a sermon series called The Christmas Experience. And we're not putting on a show here. We're not producing an experience. But our goal has been to look deep within the Scripture that you might experience Christmas deep within. We spent a week talking about waiting and waiting on God. And the Scripture says, you know, at just the right time, God sent His Son. It was His plan from the beginning to send Him. But He sent Him at the right time through a woman to redeem those who are under the law. And you see, with Jesus Christ came the message of the gospel. The law is now fulfilled through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We spent a week looking at God's favor in our lives, and we identified with Mary, the virgin girl from Nazareth. And we discovered that, yes, while God's favor is in our lives, His power, His presence, His will, His knowledge, and His goodness, as much as that favor comes upon us, it does interrupt our lives. We're no longer in charge. He is. And when we want His favor to be productive, we yield unto Him. And then we took a look at Joseph and his faithfulness. You know, here's a lesson we learned. Sometimes your neighbor's need is your spiritual test. See, Joseph and Mary were betrothed. They had not finished their wedding ceremony. The kedushin was over, but the nisuin or the huppah was not. And if he wanted out, he could have got a divorce. Now put yourself in his place. You're engaged. Your girlfriend's pregnant. She says God did it. And you see, that would have been easy for him to say, you know what? Even if he did, you're on your own. But we saw that Joseph was a righteous man, a just man. He was the kind of man who did the right thing. We want to be like him. This past Sunday, we looked at the birth of Jesus and looked at that name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. That was a prophecy from Isaiah 7 and 14 that said, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. 600 years previous. And the sign was the virgin would be with child and give birth to a son. And because she did, you would call him God with us, Emmanuel. And Matthew 1, 22 and 23 shows the fulfillment that that exact thing did happen. Tonight, we want to speak about experiencing God's joy. God's joy in our lives. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Maybe you'll want to begin to look that up, but let's watch this short video.
If you think about it, what's really interesting here is what the shepherds didn't do when this first Christmas night was over. After they visited the Christ child in the stable, they didn't write a book, they didn't set up a souvenir shop on the outskirts of Bethlehem. No, they went back to work. In Luke 2:20, we read, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. But their lives were never the same. Joy had broken through the mundane. Jesus had given them an eternal significance. That was a gift that lasted. Joy to the world.
Now that's a clip from our small groups, and we saw a whole story about the shepherds and what happened when they came to the Lord. So let's look at our Bibles, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear, with wonder, with awe. And the angel said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, not singing, saying, okay, we made a song of it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those to whom He is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the thing that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You know the story. Perhaps you could go on the next line as I read. But I want you to understand that the shepherds that night went to see the little Lamb of God. And when they looked upon Him, they saw the sweet little Jesus boy. But you know, the shepherds one day would realize that on that first night, they were also gazing at the Shepherd of Shepherds. I mean, think about that. In the Word, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Listen to what it says. It says, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Verse 10, just before that, says, Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work is before Him. And so we want to understand that this night when sweet little baby Jesus was born and laid in that animal trough and those shepherds came to see Him, yes, they saw God with us. But He became completely who God sent Him to be. Jesus was more than they saw at first glance. This baby would become the Good Shepherd. This baby would be known as the Great Shepherd. You know, things aren't always as they appear to be. I want you to look up here. I know you probably can't make this out, but this is a circle with Christmas bells on it. And as you can see, it's cocoa colored. And this was made by Debbie King in our church. She has a business called Cottage Hill Soaps. Well, if you look at this hand, you'll notice this started out to be just like this one, but half of it's missing. Well, on Saturday night, Debbie King gave this as a present to Kurt Witchie. But he didn't pay attention. He thought it was candy. He took it home. Pam said she heard him out in the kitchen. Didn't know what he was doing. He had a hard time cutting it. Thought, you know, why is this candy so hard? But when he put it in his mouth, he realized he was eating soap. So you see, it just wasn't what it appeared to be. It was much more than he thought that he had gotten. Now just think about that. If you have an appetite for milk chocolate, that but you got soap in your mouth, you see, it's much more than you thought. And I've got to tell you, lots of people see Christmas and the baby. They just think it's about gushy love. They just think it's about God loves everybody. And they just think it's about a good way to exchange Christmas presents and get something I want and to make up and do all of those things. And Christmas does that to us, but I've got to have you understand that He's much more than that. He is the King of all kings. Now our text tells us, you know, some more about Him. The text says, listen, the birth of Jesus is good news of great joy. See, this was prophesied by God. The Scripture has known all along man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Has known all along that the law was the tutor that would lead us to show us this mostly. You can do all the righteous acts you want, but you can't make it up. Something needs to happen. And the Scripture says this good news has come. This is great joy because God's answer is here. And so when we look at that text, we find out the birth is that good news of great joy. And the response is, spread the word. The shepherds got it as much as they could get it. I don't know how astute they were in the study of Old Testament Scripture. But from the revelation of that angel, they were able to say, we saw the Christ. And as you go on in that text, what's it say? Mary, she displayed inward worship. Here's something you should do at Christmas. There should be some treasuring and some pondering that goes on. Now, I don't mean about when your kids were little. I don't mean about, you know, the favorite present you ever got. I mean about the Christ child to say, how could God give His Son? And the shepherds, they were an example of outward worship. It says they left glorifying and praising God. And so we would see that both of those responses to Christmas are appropriate. Some quiet, inward worshiping and pondering, and some outward joy that says, you know what? You know what I know? You need to know too. What do we need to know? Here's what it says. It says, you have seen the Savior, Christ the Lord. That's who Jesus is, God's Savior. He is the deliverer, the preserver. He's the sustainer and the preserver of His body, the church. He is the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is testimony to His deity. A man can't save a man. Only God could save a man. And Jesus came as a baby, and the response was, He's the Savior. Not only Savior, He's the Christ. The Christ, that's the anointed one. The Messiah. Like the high priest anointed with oil at ordination and for the unction of the Spirit upon him, Jesus is the anointed one, the chosen one of God. And He's the Lord. He's the Kurios. This signifies He has the power. He has the authority. He is the Lord. He's the Master. He's the Sir of the Godhead. And we know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now you see Him on the cross. You see Him coming again. But when He was in the manger, He was just the same. He was Savior. He was Lord, you see. Christ, He was Lord. Isaiah 53:6 tells us something. It says this. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. But the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon Him, meaning Jesus Christ. Just previous to that, Isaiah says, surely He, who? Savior, Christ, Lord, surely He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. But the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon Him. Understand this. The Savior, the Lord, the Christ, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, became the burden bearer as the Lamb of God. So take that picture. The shepherds looking in on that baby. The Great Shepherd who would become the Lamb of God. And this really is a shepherd and sheep story. And we're right in it. It says, you're like a sheep. I'm like a sheep. What do sheep need? They need a shepherd. What do sheep do? They're good at going astray. It says, you have a sin nature, I have a sin nature. Now, when a flock of sheep strays off, it's not like they have a huddle and say, you know, let's go to this town or that, and they all go together. One goes this way, one goes that way, and that certainly describes us. What's your sin nature? What direction do you go? And see, He gave it all for us. I don't know if you've ever noticed or tried to describe what you see. I think you probably have seen it. But there is a Christmas paradox in our culture. Here's something Alistair Begg said about it. He said, we have never had so much and yet have never had so little. Surrounded by that which ought to provide so much pleasure, people testify to feeling unhappy without being able to pinpoint the cause of their unhappiness. A time when there's more opportunity for connections with people, we hear that man has never felt more alone. Invited to parties where the desire is to be accepted, people often leave feeling increasingly alienated. And see, when we stand back and look, we say, why? I have all this stuff. I have, you know, a good job, a nice home, a good family, good meals. Yet there's something missing. And here's what happens. People are prone to assume that their problems are not their own. That, they lie on the outside of themselves, but the answer lies on the inside. And so we look at life and we start to think, what's it all about? Why is it so hard? I've got to dig deeper. I've got to find something inside. But you know, the Bible says quite the opposite. It says the problem each of us faces is on the inside of us. And the answer is on the outside. See, we are sinners at heart. We tend to stray away. We're like the sheep who go in the wrong direction. It's innate. It's born within us. But the solution is on the outside. And you know God's solution? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So understand, that's the good news of great joy, that Jesus Christ from the outside has gone before us and has made a way to be fixed from the outside in, not the inside out. So if you think you're smart enough to fix your own problems, you disagree with the Word of God. If you think you can, you know, become a much better person, you can get so far, but you can't be born again by your own will. It takes God coming in and doing His work within us. Pay attention. You know, the Scripture says, unto us. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who did it? God. Unto who? Unto us. Unto? Because of us. For us. For our sake. You see, a child is born, a son is given. And the government will be upon His shoulder, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Why? For us. See, that's what the Scripture says there that we read. It says, unto you this day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. For your sake, because of your need, because the problem is on the inside and has to be fixed on the outside, a Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born. And that certainly spells joy to the world. So see, I would say many, many people come to Christmas Eve services and they walk away happy because everybody else is happy and they're going to somebody's house and have some goodies and they're going to get some gifts tomorrow and you go along with the season, but the depth of the birth of Christ is missed so often. And so I just want you to begin to ponder, is He joy in my life? Is there great news that has made, you know, joy for me? You don't want to miss all that God has offered. Joy to the world is the best news in the world. Watch this clip.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, how is that good news? And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, how is that good news? And she said, I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses. The pauses, she said, the pauses. Add them on the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 6th, 7th, and last note. Now, I was frustrated and said, how can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world? Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
Isn't that good? And you know, I won't linger long about that, but just thinking through that, every song in the world only has 13 notes to work with. It's how you take the notes and put them together that makes a song. And you know, in your life and my life, they're not that much different. We have, sometimes play in a major key and sometimes in a minor key. Sometimes there's great consonance in our lives and good rhythm and it seems to flow. And in other times, there's a lot of dissonance and the song feels like it's going to fall apart. But I just want to say, you know, God can take every life just like He takes those notes. And you might put yours together differently than me. We may not have the same song, but we end up with a song. But here's why I played that. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. It says, the Lord has come, let the earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods and rocks and hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace. And He makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. What's the best news in the world? Say it with me. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Now think of this. When God is absent, our joy is wrought. See, when you let your pain or your past or your pride get in the way, you lose your joy. When you let your sorrow or your sin or your selfishness get in the way, you lose your joy. But when God is present, our joy is multiplied. Those shepherds, what did they experience that night? Those shepherds, they experienced the presence of God, so much so that their joy overflowed to everyone they met. And you know, as I leave Christmas Eve tonight, my desire is to have what the shepherds had. I'd like to have the presence of God in my life. Yes, that's what I'm asking for, lots of presence. And I want you to do the same. See, ask for lots of presence, the presence of God in your life. I want God's presence to flow through me every day, that I might be like the shepherds, and as the song says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. And I just say, how about you? Do you want God's presence in your life? Now, thinking of presence, I have a final question to ask you. And if you study your Bible very much at all, you know the answer. What presents did Jesus get for Christmas? Okay, sometime later, they weren't in a stable, they were in a house, but some magi showed up. Three wise guys, okay. Some wise men showed up with three gifts. And the gifts were gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, see, that's a fitting gift for a king. The gold symbolized his virtue. Frankincense, that's an incense that's burned and it It showed His divine nature and symbolizes our prayers to heaven. Jesus Christ, the King. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And the myrrh, that's an oil used for embalming. And so it was symbolic of His humanity and the sacrificial death that He would experience. And so tonight as you go home, just see that Jesus baby in the manger and know that He came for a great reason. Now I do have something to share with you that you may not have known, may not have thought about. He did get a present from His parents the night He was born. It wasn't something they bought, but it was something they borrowed. Jesus got the first king-size bed. See that? Just think about that. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because Christ was born, it brings everlasting joy to the world. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing Silent Night, greet one another, and head on home. Our blessed Father, I thank You for the Christ. And Father, sometimes in our church, we almost jump over Christmas to get to Easter. But we know that if He didn't come, He couldn't die. And so, Father, we praise You for His birth and His death. And so, Father, tonight I pray that as we leave, we might be like Mary, that we would ponder these things and wonder about these things. And, Father, let them build in our heart quietly. And like the shepherds, we might glorify and praise and go tell others. And so, Lord, tonight may Christ be born in every heart. In His name we pray.